are back. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. Y'all, I'm talking about Alabama. And I mean to say, this show goes like, man, way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, let me pause a second, too. I got to tell you, so one of our newest sponsors is Inspire Advisors. And let me just give you something big to think about here. So, yes, indeed, this is a crazy world. We just did the whole woke world thing, right? You heard all that stuff. This is a crazy world. And yet, I mean, here you are, a bunch of you ruffians out there working hard to plan for your own future and still at the same time stand up for your beliefs. So let me ask you this. What if you found out, though, that in the middle of doing all that, that some of your investments were actually going to things that are absolutely contrary to what you believe in? Well, that is the case too often. So let me just suggest to you, it may be time to meet Paul Breyer. Paul Breyer and his team of PhDs and financial experts at Inspire Advisors. I'm talking about financial planning that actually, you know, like considers who you are and what you believe in. These are solid local experts. They use like biblically responsible investing, data-driven strategies to maximize your return. And they do it, by the way, in a way that has a real impact, not just on your bottom line, but also on the world in which we live. That's what I would call a healthy dose of financial freedom. So hear me, let me give you something free. You ready? I'm going to give away free stuff here. Here's the deal. If you want to know more about what's in your portfolio, sort of check up on it, if you will, you can go online for a free impact report at their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. Inspire Advisors. You can also, by the way, go to our website, rightsideradio.org. Just go to the sponsors tab and then click on their logo, Inspire Advisors. It'll take you right to their website. The bottom line is this. You may want to know what you're investing in. They can help you do it. Conservative, godly, balanced financial freedom with Inspire Advisors at moneypatternwealth.com. Check them out. All right, we're going to shift gears now, going to dipper number two on this Friday afternoon. So here's the thing. Lawfare is what we've been seeing a lot of. Like on a scale that I don't know that it's ever been done like this. To take one person and say, well, we're going to sue you, that's like so common. It's almost ubiquitous. We're gonna sue you happens all the time. I'm a lawyer. I can tell you it happens all the time. Sometimes it's founded. Sometimes it's not. How about we're going to sue you, and oh, by the way, we're going to indict you. Oh, wait a minute. Hang on a second. Be careful, because under the model rules of professional conduct, a lawyer cannot threaten criminal action to gain the upper hand in a civil case. Lawyers can be, you know, called on the carpet for that, even found in violation of the rules of professional conduct. Huh. Well, how do we do this? Because we want to get him from all angles. Okay, I tell you what, you do one over here, we'll do one over there. You do three over there, we'll make a special counsel over here. Next thing you know, what have we got? It's absolute lawfare. It's a coordinated campaign. When we plan a military campaign, when a military campaign is planned, you're talking about joint interoperability. You're talking about the ability to say we've got air, land, and sea. We've got all the necessary elements of warfare being brought together. And then we have the logistics, the log trains are put in place. And then we have, you know, everything it takes to support the effort with other combat enablers like medical and all the others. Folks, I'm just telling you, that's exactly, if you took that kind of a model, that joint level of operations, that air-land battle doctrine, if you will, and you turned it into the legal world, what do you have right now? You've got federal, you've got state. You've got this state over here and that state over there with jurisdictions that don't overlap. And then you've got this special counsel doing his thing over there. And then you've got states over here that are saying, we're going to sue to take you off the ballot, so you have to deal with that. And then we've got somebody from 30 or 40 years ago who says, I believe he raped me, but I forgot to say something about it for 40 years, so I'm back now and I want to sue him. And if he talks bad about me, I'm going to sue him also for defamation. And that case goes on. And then you got an attorney general in one state who's going to pull something out of her hat and try to seize all of his assets so then he can't pay for the other lawsuits that are going on. Now, this is unbelievable. Now, liberals would have you believe this is just, look, there's just so much smoke, it's all fire. That's what's happening right now. There is no way on God's green earth that all of this is real. This is what you call lawfare. There's an attitude of deep pockets attached. Stormy Daniels, let's do this just for a second. Let us hearken back to the key witness in the recent prosecution that resulted in a conviction on 34 counts. First of all, let's clarify the record. 34 counts of what? Well, we're not sure. What do you mean we're not sure? Because they didn't specify. How can we not specify? Well, because it was state-level misdemeanors, and what it was really 34 misdemeanors, but not really. It was really one misdemeanor. He divided it up 34 times. What does that mean? Well, there were 34 checks that were written over a period of a year. What? Yeah, and so he made a crime out of every single one of them individually, made a count in the indictment. Really? Yeah, and then there's so many of them, they decided to make that a felony. Oh, well, what's the crime? Well, writing checks to his attorney. What was he writing checks to his attorney for? Well, to get this porn star to shut up. What? Yeah, the porn star says he had an affair with her. Do we trust the porn star? Well, that's beside the point. She said it, and it's Trump. It must be true. But what's the check supposed to be like? People sign non-disclosures all the time. People settle lawsuits all the time. What's the check about? Well, we think he was doing it to help his campaign. What? Yeah, we're going to take a state-level crime. We're going to take 34 checks. We're going to pretend they're 34 felonies. And then we're going to say, if you prove one, you've proven all. And then we're going to say, but that was really tied to a federal election campaign crime. Really? You can do that? Well, we're going to. Has it been done before? I don't think so. It's called a novel theory of law, y'all. If it ever gets to the Supreme Court, it'll be called a case of first impression. That's what they call it. When the Supremes see something they've never seen before, they deal with it as a case of first impression, meaning they've got no prior precedent to deal with, so they've got to set precedent for the first time. I suspect we may see precedent setting on this one. There is so much here. And then we get to Stormy Daniels. No, please don't. Well, we're going to have to. Who's Stormy Daniels? Well, she's a, I don't even call her a star. She's a porn person. She makes porn movies. Really? Yep. That's rather a prurient lifestyle, is it not? It is. She got paid to have sex with men on TV all the time. All the time. On TV, on movies, all the time. Okay. So she also apparently wants everybody to believe she was a victim, though, because she says she had sex with a guy who has a lot of money. And he's also running for president. That's true. Well, so what happened? I mean, she came to court and said all the things, right? Well, keep in mind, she came to court after she had already tried to sue Trump and he had to counterclaim on a defamation charge and he won. He won before the criminal? Yes, he won. She owed him when she was sitting on the stand in New York City testifying against him. She currently owed him a whole lot of money that she says she'll never pay. But I thought she was ordered by the court. Well, she was. So she lost against Trump in another lawsuit. She's still mad about that. She owes him a whole lot of money. But we're to believe when she came to court, everything then was like unbiased and truthful. Yes, porn star owes you money. And when they testify, it's real. That's what lawfare does. Well, hang on a second. Is she the only witness? No. Not the only witness. Well, who else was there? Well, there was a guy who was a convicted felon and a disbarred lawyer who was mad, and so he stole from Trump. How do you know he stole from Trump? Well, because he admitted it on the stand. What? Yeah, he stole from Trump, like a whole lot of money. I'm pretty sure it was grand theft. And he admitted it on the stand? Yeah. Well, how's that work? Why didn't they call to question his credibility? Well, apparently they did, but it only went to the weight of his testimony as opposed to his admissibility. Who said that? The judge. Who's the judge? Well, that's the judge who has been sort of like, you know, really hammering Trump for the entire time. Why was he hammering him? Well, because he was daring to talk. What do you mean daring to talk? Everybody's talking about him. I know, but he's not allowed to talk about them. How's that work? It just does. It's lawfare. And oh, by the way, everything I just said was one case. The interesting dynamic here, though, is that it's obvious that what they really wanted, they, the Democrats, liberal progressives, the people who planned the entire joint operation, right? What they really want desperately was A, to drive Trump down to the polls, B, make his life miserable, C, crush his finances and make it almost more difficult than ever for him to not just run for office, but to even survive. And then D, what they also really want to do is be able to say, Trump's a convicted felon, Trump's a convicted felon, Trump's a convicted felon. Guess what? Currently, he's a convicted felon, and it's not really helping him a whole lot. It's not. Story here on hotair.com as we delve into what I'm calling lawfare fratricide. Fratricide meaning you shot one of your own. You turned the guns in the wrong direction. You maybe even shot yourself in the foot. Biden's plan to paint Trump as a convicted felon is backfiring. Dateline yesterday, hotair.com says, careful what you wish for, Democrats. Democrats salivated for the opportunity to campaign on former President Trump's criminal convictions. He's a convicted felon, they say. Guess what's happening? His support's going up more than ever. The more Donald Trump is indicted, it says, the more support he seems to receive in the polls. It turns out that Americans don't like lawfare. Really? How about that? Democrats, it says, tend to overplay their hand, and the hush money trial in Manhattan is the latest example. According to a recent INI tip poll taken as Trump's convictions were playing out, the former president rose in the polls. This poll was conducted in the last days and thereafter of the conviction, meaning that the poll was done at a time when the convictions were likely known. And voters apparently didn't care. It basically boiled down to no change. In fact, if anything, Trump's gone up. It says in a head-to-head poll between President Joe Biden and Trump, it's now a statistical toss-up, 41-41 in this poll. That's an improvement for Trump from May when he was trailing by 2 points in the same poll. If Trump is destroying democracy, then why is it that Biden's not out front by leaps and bounds? Huh. But I thought lawfare was going to help bring that down a notch. Apparently not. The most important finding in the poll, it says, is related to independent voters because, you know, just being honest, the base is going to vote their base. The independents or the centrists or the moderates or the undeclareds, they often wind up determining how a close race is going to go. If it's a runaway race, then the base wins. If it's a very close race, then the independents are everything. In this case, Trump easily wins with 38-26 over a head-to-head matchup in the independents in the same poll. Now, when you add Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in there, you lose a little bit from Biden and Trump, but it still winds up being a statistical tie. The bottom line is this. Lawfare is backfiring in a big way. When I get back, I'll tell you what it's done to his fundraising. Holy smokes. And then I'll tell you about how lawfare fratricide appears to be extending into all the other cases. It's just fun to watch. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. Going into the final hour of the show here, just getting you all the way to go home time. I'm in the middle of dipper number two. I'm calling it lawfare fratricide. And my point here is to say that lawfare is backfiring in a big way. In a big way. I'm not saying he's done yet. I know there's still a long way to go. But you know what? So far, it ain't quite panning out the way they planned. And that is just, in my opinion, just a hoot. By the way, here's a story from the Post-Millennial you may be curious to know. How much money has Trump raised? Well, if indeed this is correct, speaking at a Turning Point Action event on Thursday evening, that'd be last night, GOP presumptive nominee Donald Trump announced that his campaign has raised $400 million since his New York City conviction. I just caught Big Rig's attention. The things we could do with a mere third of that, brother, just a third. Okay, 25%. I'll settle for 20%.
I'll settle for 1%.
Okay, 1% be fine too. Anyway, $400 million raised by the Trump campaign. If in fact, now we haven't seen the reports yet, but we do know they raised $200 million. I think they raised, how many, what, in the first 24 hours, they raised like $38 million. $400 million is a clear indication that donors have had it with lawfare because it all happened post-conviction. In fact, pre-conviction, he was actually struggling a little bit with the fundraising. Not struggling overall, just not keeping up with Biden because Biden had a huge war chest. And now we're seeing, this appears to be getting more and more interesting because suddenly he has raised $400 million in the wake of being called a convicted felon. Oh, no, say it ain't so. How about the other cases, though? If lawfare is backfiring, where else is it backfiring? It's backfiring everywhere right now. We're going to find out pretty soon what the Supreme Court is going to say about his immunity issue that could just completely unhinge the Jack Smith case, the special prosecutor. But in the meantime, let's take a look at Fannie Willis. Got to. Fannie Willis, district attorney for Fulton County, Georgia, indicted 18 people in another classic case of overreach. And I'm going to tell you right now, that woman is a prideful zealot. She was just, she was indignant. How dare you question me? Don't you know who I am? Yeah, we do. That's why we're questioning. But she brought this lawfare case. She immediately got several of them to agree to take a plea deal. Well, they're doing it to save their own skin. Some of them were at risk of losing their law license. By the way, I have never seen someone indict the lawyers for someone who they say did something wrong. I mean, that's a whole new realm. Who does that? That's like saying, well, you caused an auto accident, but we're going to indict the doctor who treated you afterwards. What? In this case, though, we've got a situation. Fannie has some problems. Fannie had Loverboy working on her case. Fannie was having an affair with a married guy who was an attorney who had never done prosecution work before, so she brought him in. And she brought him in to do what? Oh, I don't know. How about run the entire 18-count or 18-person indictment? The case against all the defendants, especially against Trump. Well, he's an independent contractor. You can do that? Apparently you can. She had a contract with him as an independent to come in and get paid to be the lead attorney in the prosecution of the President of the United States. Well, okay. At the very least, though, I see how this works. He's not getting paid a lot because, it's the public dollar and they never pay the public attorneys very much. No, in this case, they did. He got paid twice as much as anybody else. How'd that work out? We don't know. All we know is somehow or another she did the paperwork. She got him paid twice as much. He's never done criminal work before, much less against a high-profile case like the President of the United States. Oh, but wait, they were having an affair. Oh, but wait, the money that she paid him, I want to say he made something in the neighborhood of $900,000. They started taking trips together. Who paid for it? He did. How'd he pay for it? Well, he got paid very well, so he had extra, cash on hand. A little something-something in his pocket, a little folding money to work with. Because Fannie paid him. Fannie got some bad news when the Trump campaign found out about this. Because you got to know for a fact, the Trump campaign went out and hired private investigators. And they said, tell us everything you know about Fannie. Well, Fannie got funny, let's just go ahead and say it. And Fannie's funny didn't turn out well for Fannie. In the end, she ain't laughing. Well, it just got deeper because the Court of Appeals just came back, and I'll tell you about that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I'm in lawfare right now, and I'm in lawfare fratricide in particular. Right now, it is backfiring. And that is the way we want it, right? Outside of the idea of Trump just having cases dismissed, the next best thing could be for it to bounce back on them and actually hurt their own cause. If you're gonna abuse the legal system like this, at some point there needs to be the ability for you to have to deal with the consequences of your own actions. And I'm going to jump into some of that here momentarily. Let me take a few text messages before I get too far down the line. Ruminating Rocker from Flint Creek says, I keep a list of dates in the back of my phone book of unforgettable shows, and 66224 is now at the top of the list. Man, thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Yesterday was a great show. Yesterday was one of those shows that, first of all, flew by for me personally, but it was also the kind of thing that you look at and just you participate in it and realize something's good going on here the whole time. John C. from Madison, how much money has Trump raised? And he says, and you just answered it. Thank you very much. You're welcome. Gary from Decatur says, sadly, there is now 50% or more of the American people that no longer trust the judicial system in our country. Will the Democrats ever pay a price for this? Well, they'll pay a price when we begin to replace them in the electoral process. That's all we can do right now. Because keep in mind that the appointment of judges and the election of judges, the appointment is in the hands of the people that are elected, like Trump. And then the election of the judges themselves in some places, like in Alabama state courts. You got to get the right people in the right places to impact the judicial system to bring the trust back. Elect the right DAs. Elect the right judicial officials. If they are going to run for office, hold their feet to the fire. And at the same time, if they are appointed to their positions, make sure you elect the right people for the appointments. If they are then appointed and yet confirmed, then you got to have a Senate in place to confirm them. So I'm just saying, at some point, the voters of this nation do already have a say. We're getting what we paid for, if you will. And I say we, not you and I. You and none of us voted for Fannie Willis to be the DA of Fulton County, Georgia. She's there, though. But what we did do was we elected the right people at some point who appointed the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals who are dealing with some of the things on the federal level in our particular listening area. The people of Georgia did have a say in who got appointed to the Georgia Court of Civil Appeals at the state level, and they are now reviewing Fannie Willis. Let's talk about that. That's one of the things that I'm saying is so fun to watch. So Fannie gets out there and indicts 18 people. She got it going on, man. It's going to be the biggest deal. I'm going to be the thing. I'm going to have my own show on MSNBC. You watch out, Joy. I'm coming for your job. That's what's happening right there. Georgia Court of Civil Appeals, though, is stepping in. How are they doing this? Well, you may recall that when Loverboy was discovered, that the Trump campaign decided to come back and go, no, because if you recall, Your Honor, they lied to the court. They had to have. We now know that she has been saying one thing to the court about her involvements, and it's not true. We also know that there were some things said in his divorce that we now find out are true, that were lied about. Your Honor, she's absolutely conflicted now. She's an officer of the court. She cannot lie to the court and then present evidence about someone else when she is tainted like this. And the judge came back and said, after having a very salacious hearing, you may recall, several days, where she even took the stand and got belligerent and even told the judge what she thought about things. The judge came back and made a very questionable ruling. He said, all right, here's the deal, Fannie. Either you go or he goes. What he should have done is said both of them go. He should have said you're both off the case. If this case wants to proceed, it's going to proceed without the two of you because you've thrown the entire case into jeopardy. But no, he didn't. What he did was he said you go or he goes. What did Fannie do? She threw Loverboy under the bus. Loverboy's off the case. Loverboy's gone. Loverboy's out there looking for a new gig, doing divorce work or something. Fannie's still on the case. Trump campaign appeals. They said, hey, that judge should have thrown them both off. You can't just throw one off. If they're conflicted, they're conflicted. You can't say, well, you're only conflicted if you're next to each other. Well, guess what? The Georgia Court of Appeals just yesterday came back and said, you know what? We agree. We're going to hear arguments on this. They didn't say we agree with the appeal. They said we're going to agree to take it up on appeal. Now, first of all, that's a big deal. They don't take up cases on appeal unless they see grounds for the appeal to be argued. So RVM News says the Georgia Court of Appeals has now issued a temporary halt on all proceedings related to the 2020 election case. So there's the other big deal. They didn't just come in and say, we're going to hear that matter. In the meantime, proceedings can continue. They didn't. They said, stay all proceedings. Stop what you're doing. The reason they did that was because the judge had said he would continue the proceedings in the midst of the appeal. And the appellate court said, no, you're not. What's the timeline now? Well, the timeline now is way far out there. The timeline now is that this case is not going to get heard anytime soon. When would it be? Well, the Court of Civil Appeals won't even hear arguments on whether Fannie should have been dismissed from the case until October. October? Okay, but the election's in November. Yeah, but they're not required to have their ruling back until March of 25. March of 25? That's after the inauguration? Yes, it is. Daily Wire has a piece, Dateline, yesterday. CNN's top legal analyst now says the Georgia case is over. CNN is now saying it. So CNN, Phil? Yes, they did. CNN's top legal expert said this week there's a good chance the criminal charges against former President Donald Trump in Georgia will be basically falling apart now. And since the case has been postponed, Eli Honig is a CNN senior legal analyst and a former U.S. attorney. His quote, it says, it's over. Let's be realistic, he said. It's not happening before the 2024 election. It's not happening in 2024. It's maybe not happening at all. He said, look, the appeals court, we can never predict what they're going to do, but there's some things we do know for sure. Number one, they didn't have to take the case, the appeal, but they chose to. And the other thing is, they didn't have to pause the district court, but they did. In fact, the trial court judge, when he issued his ruling, said, I'm going to keep on holding proceedings. But the appellate court said, no, you're not. So if Trump and the defendants prevail in the appeal, the case is essentially toast. In any event, we don't even find out what happens until sometime in 2025, at best. He argued that if the case gets dismissed, then the former Trump officials who all pled guilty early in the case are going to probably walk their guilty pleas back because they were going to say that they had, you know, insufficient advice of counsel or something. Okay, other things in the lawfare. So listen, I'm trying to unravel this for you. This is a coordinated effort at a variety of levels. And for those of y'all that are out there that think I'm a Trump acolyte, I'm not. I'm for him. I'm absolutely for him. I'm a fan. But I am also eyes wide open to the fact that the guy has character flaws at times. Yes, he does. There are things he says sometimes I go, ooh, I don't know if I'd have said it that way. There are things he does that I find myself thinking, why would you do it that way? Was that necessary? So I have my frustrations with him. I do. But I also really support what I saw in the last campaign or the last administration when Trump was in office. I know we can do better than what we got right now. And guess what? He's our guy. So when I watch all this lawfare, number one, I'm seeing it from the idea of trying to dismantle the candidacy of the person that I'm prepared to vote for. But I'm also seeing it because here's the thing, y'all. The texter who said earlier, who is it, Gary from Decatur? Mm-hmm. Gary from Decatur saying that a large percentage of American people now don't trust the judicial system. The only way to get that back is to thwart their efforts so convincingly that everybody looks at it and goes, there is justice. We have to have that. We have to discover the things they've done to coordinate this effort, and we have to steer that ship back around. We have to literally steer that ship back around. But y'all, it's an uphill climb, but we're doing it. We got right now, we got the backlash they're feeling from the cheesy conviction that's going to go out on appeal in New York. We got the fundraising that is going on because people are seeing it and they're mad. We've got the case in Georgia, which is falling apart on Fannie's watch. And Fannie is hurting right now. And that case is probably gone. And then we got others that I'll talk about right after this break. When we get back, I'm going to tell you, Merrick Garland just got a ration. But how in the world did he have one of his top people go to work in New York? Did they think we wouldn't notice? We'll talk about that. And then what just happened in the Florida classified records case? Oh, that got fun too. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just making it cool to be a conservative, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Giving you all the truth you can put on that bumper sticker. A couple of text messages, I'll grab them real quick. John from Brownsboro, talking about voting for Trump. He says, I crawled out of the basket of deplorables. We still ought to have T-shirts that say that. I crawled out of the basket of deplorables to vote for the first time. I voted for the first man to be impeached twice the second time. Now I'm going to cast my ballot for the first person to be a convicted felon. Does that say more about me or the individuals doing everything they can to besmirch the unassailable? What a great text. So it's a great point. You have to look at it and go, you know what? If some of this stuff was real, it would have stuck by now. But, I mean, for the love, Trump derangement syndrome is real. Don't tell me it's not. He is so under there. He lives rent-free in their brains sometimes. It is just so amazing to me, the level of vitriol. And for that matter, the amount of resources being put into get Trump. Okay, because he's Trump, he's going to destroy the world. We're going to not have any democracy. He's going to be a tyrant. Meanwhile, you abuse the legal system to take down a U.S. citizen, try and destroy his finances, ruin his life, tear down his character because he's your political opponent. If he had not run for office again, this would all be quiet. You wouldn't have heard any of this stuff. But they'll ruin whoever they can to get their way, and then they're going to call us the tyrants. That's amazing to me. Ken from Harvest says, been out of pocket this week visiting grandsons. Good for you, man. Excited to hear about the lawfare developments. Would today be a good day for lawyer jokes? Now I got to read his lawyer jokes. So three doctors were talking about their favorite patients. The first said rocket scientists because their minds are amazing. The second said athletes because of the quick recovery. The third said lawyers. Lawyers, said the other two. Yes, lawyers. There's two parts, a mouth and a butt, and they're interchangeable. That is just not funny. You do not get any applause. Don't play a sound effect, Big Rig. I'm looking at you. That's awful. Awfulness. David from Huntsville said it's very difficult to vote out a Democrat president, even with his horrible record. Biden is even with Trump. A Republican president with Biden's record would never be reelected. I tend to agree with that. We tend to hold our people more accountable than they do. Then again, maybe he's doing everything they want. Bob from Athens, regarding the New York conviction, said it was 11 of each of invoices sent by Cohen and checks and 12 vouchers. Okay, maybe you're right. I don't remember it that way, but nonetheless, does it matter? John from Huntsville, if Trump gave a shout out to Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg about prison trips, he would jump 10 points in the polls. Okay. All right. Listen, lawfare fratricide. Let me keep this thread going. So first of all, Merrick Garland. If you ever watch something happen, you go, did they just think we weren't going to find out? You look at it and go, why did they think we weren't going to find out? So Merrick Garland had to testify in front of the House. A House committee the other day, I believe House Judiciary. And Matt Gaetz and a number of the others pretty much wore him out. You would expect that. I mean, those committee meetings have really gotten to be farcical in some ways. It's just a soundbite opportunity. But this one got legit, man. Matt Gaetz actually asked him, and I thought, you know, Matt Gaetz gets under my skin sometimes, but I thought Matt Gaetz did a pretty good job of boxing him in. It was like he was playing chess and the other guy was playing checkers. He said, Mr. Attorney General, you've told us it's a dangerous conspiracy theory to allege that the DOJ is communicating with state and local prosecutors against Trump. You can clear it all up for us right now. Will the DOJ provide to us, the committee, all the documents and correspondence between the department and Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg's office and Fulton County DA Fannie Willis's office and New York State AG Letitia James' office? Will you just give us the communications? To which Garland said his department would receive the request and through the appropriate channels, they would determine whether there was a need to respond. He said, no, Matt Gaetz did. That's not what we're asking. The question is whether you communicate with them, not whether you control them. This is going to be interesting. Because if they were communicating with these offices during the pendency of the investigations or the cases themselves, then it really almost doesn't matter whether they were saying, hey, make sure you press these charges. Hey, here's the timeline. Hey, here's who goes first. We don't have to see pure control. If we find that they were communicating with them at all about Trump, it's enough. Why? First of all, when you have the weight of office, like the DOJ under the Biden administration contacting the AG in Fulton County, it implies things. It A, puts a chilling effect on certain behavior, and it B, encourages other behavior. That alone will be sufficient, I think, to show that there was some measure of emphasis being applied. We're not saying you have to do something, but wink, wink, nod, nod. We just like to know. Why do you want to know? Because we just care. Well, listen, how do they think we're going to just look aside from all this? Because we now know that Fannie Willis's boyfriend visited the White House and the DOJ multiple times. All we want to know is, what communications did you have? We're going to come right back. I'm going to wrap this up. We're going to take you all the way to go home. I'm telling you right now, it's Friday afternoon, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, I'm going to pause the conversation on lawfare momentarily here. I got to give you something big to think about, all right? One of our newest sponsors is Inspire Advisors. So this is a crazy world, as evidenced by all the things we talk about all the time, right? It's a crazy world. You're working hard to plan for your own retirement. What would happen if you found out that some of the investments you have are going to things that you don't believe in? Because it's a crazy world. All right, here's the deal. If that's the case, maybe it's time for you to meet Paul Breyer and the team of PhDs and financial experts over at Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors. Look, I'm talking about financial planning they'll do for you that considers who you are and what you believe in. These are solid local experts using biblically responsible advising and investing, data-driven strategies to maximize your returns. And doing so, by the way, in a manner that has an impact not just on your bottom line, but also in the world in which you live. That's what I call financial freedom, y'all. So if you want to know more about what's in your portfolio, stand by. I'm going to give you a free thing. You ready? Free thing. You ready? Here we go. Free thing. If you want to know like what you're investing in, you can get a free impact report just by going to their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com, free impact report. Inspire Advisors. You can find them at moneypatternwealth.com. You can also find them anytime on our sponsors page on the rightsideradio.org website. Just click on their logo. It takes you right to it. Conservative, godly, balanced financial freedom with Inspire Advisors at moneypatternwealth.com. All right, I'm going to finish up this lawfare thing, take you all the way to the go home. So here's the deal. One of the things that I also look at and wonder, did they just think we weren't going to notice? I mean, if lawfare is fratricide, then what I'm saying there is they've begun to turn the guns on themselves, accidentally shoot themselves in the foot, take out their own troops, and it's what they're doing. So I've told you already about how in the post, New York Alvin Bragg case convictions, Trump's fundraising and polls are through the roof. Through the roof. I've told you about how Fannie Willis, it's falling apart. It's just not working out. And it doesn't appear that case will now even be heard until well into 2025, after he takes office. I've told you about how we're finding out now that there has been coordination potentially between the DOJ and the DAs and state attorney generals. And Merrick Garland got called on the carpet the other day by Republicans at a House Judiciary meeting. Now there's this. We are now learning more and more about the fact that one of the prosecutors in the Alvin Bragg case had been a top member of Biden's DOJ. Did they just think we weren't going to notice that? Because look, when you've been the number three man at the Federal Department of Justice, it's not likely you're going to go be a rank and file guy at a DA's office anywhere. You're going to get a job being a pundit. You're going to get a job being a state attorney general. You're going to run for Senate. You're going to do something because you've got a thing on your resume now that is very hard to get and puts you at the upper levels of allegedly of justice in the United States. And yet Matthew Colangelo left his plum job, according to the Daily Wire, Dateline 2 days ago, Matthew Colangelo left his plum job at the top of the DOJ to work for Alvin Bragg. What? Yeah. Huh. A highly unusual move, the article says, that would likely have had to have involved discussions with other DOJ brass about his departure. American First Legal Foundation, founded by Stephen Miller, who used to work for Trump, has now sued the DOJ, wanting to know what communications there were with Alvin Bragg's office about Colangelo coming to work there. He said no one leaves, Stephen Miller said, no one leaves being number three at DOJ to go work in a DA's office, no matter which one it is. There's no plausible explanation, except that there was a coordinated campaign to target one man, President Trump. Interesting. Here's the other piece of this. When you dig deeper, you find out that before serving as an acting associate attorney general, before serving as an active associate attorney general, Colangelo also worked for the New York AG's office, which also investigated Trump. That's the Letitia James case. So Chip Roy, who I really like, Chip Roy from Texas, Freedom Caucus guy. He heads up he's actually a member of the Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of Federal Government. He's asked for Bragg and Colangelo to have to testify before Congress. He wants them to come spend time being grilled on this. How is it that you two started working together? How is it, Alvin Bragg, that you reached into the DOJ and hired away their number three man? How is it not a conflict of interest when he used to work in the AG's office and helped investigate Trump? And oh, by the way, now he's working with you in the DA's office. And oh, by the way, he also used to work in Biden's DOJ. How did this happen? Was it innocent? Y'all had a beer one night, you met at a bar, and you're like, hey, dude, you want to come work for me? Sure, why not? Big doings. Not really. That's a demotion. All right, last one I got for you. I'll take this all the way to the wind on this one. Do I have a stack of them here? But I'm going to go with this. As lawfare begins to unravel all the cases, as the cases begin to fall apart under their own weight, as they begin to turn the weapons of lawfare against themselves and point fingers and say, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. I didn't do it. Yes, you did. As people begin to find out the layers that are underneath and see the ugly. Well, a federal judge in Florida has now entered a ruling that kind of caught some people off guard on the left. You may recall that there's other cases going on. And they're everywhere, man. So one of those cases is the question of Trump's classified documents case. You remember President Biden, they found classified documents at the Penn Biden Center. They found classified documents in a box next to his green Corvette. They found classified documents in his study at his house. They found classified documents. There was a trail of classified. He was like Johnny Appleseed, sprinkling classified documents everywhere he went. Some of them dating back to his time in the Senate when he had zero authority to have possession of a classified document outside of the skiff in the Senate. But the special counsel who investigated that one found that he has nothing to prosecute here because, you know, he's a senile old man who didn't realize and it'd be hard to press charges. What? That's what he gets? At the same time, Trump has Mar-a-Lago raided by the FBI, who had authority to use lethal force if necessary when they raided his house, and they seized the documents. And oh, by the way, now those documents, they can't actually work with the chain of custody because they didn't keep them all boxed the way they're supposed to. And so that's a big deal. But the other thing that's happening is this. Jack Smith is the special counsel who's been appointed by Merrick Garland to handle the prosecution of the case against Trump in the classified documents, also January 6th, in this case, the classified documents. U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon has now said she will allow arguments about whether or not Jack Smith should have been even appointed. What? Excuse me? This is the Fannie Willis defense. This is not just we reject the crimes as alleged or indicted. This is, we reject that the prosecutor is even allowed to be the prosecutor. This is lawfare getting smacked around a little bit. So right now, and nothing's done yet. I know that. But the fact that the arguments are being allowed to happen is significant. U.S. District Judge, according to the Washington Examiner, Dateline 2 days ago. U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon said in her order on Tuesday she will allow 30 minutes for them to have guest scholars. It's not just appointed counsel. It's not just counsel of record coming in and saying, Your Honor, here I am to present my argument on the legal research I've done. No. They're allowed to bring in legal experts to speak to both sides of the issue, they're giving them a half hour each to present their arguments. They're doing it on a June 21st hearing. Good gosh. I mean, this is kind of huge, to be honest with you. I have never seen a case at the lower court level where motion practice takes place and you bring in associated counsel just for the sole purpose of arguing a point on one isolated incident. But that's what they're doing. Why? Because the stakes are huge, first of all. Secondly, because the judge apparently needs additional guidance. And the judge recognizes everything in this case is appealable, no matter what happens. So we're going to cover the bases. So U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon said in an order on Tuesday, that's this week, that she would allow 30 minutes for each legal scholar to present their arguments. A guy named Josh Blackman, he's a South Texas College of Law professor, is going to be one of the experts arguing for Trump. Now, he has quite a team behind him. Even former Attorney Generals Michael Mukasey and Edwin Meese, a former clerk to Justice Antonin Scalia. This is quite the group of constitutional lawyers who are going to be speaking or preparing Blackman to do his arguments. Blackman will represent the Landmark Legal Foundation, and he will argue that Smith himself is not an officer of the United States as required by the Constitution. Smith does not have the authority, he says, to prosecute this case. Those actions can only be taken by persons who are properly appointed as federal officers to properly created federal offices. Interesting. I mean, listen, I'm a lawyer, but I'm not even going to try to pretend to be a legal scholar here because these guys are operating at echelons above me. I know just enough to be dangerous on some of this stuff. But here's the deal. Representative Thomas Massey, I like Thomas Massey, a guy out of Kentucky. He pressed Merrick Garland on this. He wanted to know how in the world he was able to appoint Smith. He said, what gives you the authority to appoint a special counsel? You've created an actual office in the U.S. government that doesn't even exist without authorization from Congress. In other words, here's the deal. Merrick Garland created the office of the special investigator and appointed a person to be it. And he did so, the argument is, without congressionally backed authority to do so. Meaning this is not an officer of the United States. It's someone who shouldn't even be there because they're filling a seat that shouldn't be there in an office that shouldn't be there. And if that's the case, how is this case going forward? So, we will see. We will see indeed. We will see. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. Y'all, it is Friday afternoon, and I believe the lovely Charlene and I are getting pizza tonight. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. Sat here the whole time overdressed for radio. Go home and get my comfy clothes on, eat some pizza. It's Friday night. You guys have an amazing weekend. Ben from Decatur texted in. He says, regarding the records case against Trump, Garland is showing amnesia as he's being questioned. Not the first time either. That's exactly right. Like, oh, I don't know. I don't recall that. I don't appear to have any knowledge of that. And then Missy from Falkville says, this case may become a mistrial. If she's talking about something that just came out a moment ago, and I've got to look into it. I saw this a moment ago, too, on social media during the break. I mean, literally, like in the last few minutes. New York Judge Mershon, that's the Alvin Bragg case, has now informed the lawyers that someone posted on Facebook, my cousin is a juror and says that Trump is getting convicted, and that came out before the verdict, which means that someone was communicating outside of the jury pool, and that could be grounds for a mistrial. Is it true? I don't know. I mean, it could be somebody just making an anonymous, you know, pretend claim as a hoax. But it's going to be interesting. Apparently, this is real. That by the way, is on the National Pulse, and it's being reported right now by libs of TikTok. and other sources are posting it as well. So we'll see. I don't know. More to come. I imagine they'll be talking about it over the weekend. JoJo from Coleman says, if Trump does get a conviction for whatever supportable crime, is there a way that Americans can force conviction for the Biden son to be charged and we can rally to force them to let us vote for Trump? I don't understand what you're asking me here, JoJo. If Trump does get a conviction, I don't know what you're saying. I apologize. But I think here's the bottom line. They're unrelated cases and they need to stand on their own merits. We can't tie the two together. What happens to Hunter Biden does not relate to Trump. What happens to Trump does not relate to Hunter Biden. Do we know that people are involved that care? Yes, but they're two standalone, separate entities, separate cases, working their own way through their own separate judicial systems, one being federal, one being state. And I think we're going to have to wait and just watch them play out. Now, there's interesting dynamics at play. You know, things that like the Russia collusion laptop is fake. Oh, all of a sudden the laptop is real. It's been certified as evidence in Hunter's trial. Yeah. I'll tell the grades real quick from John, then I'll go to the phones. John from Huntsville says, today's co-winners, Big Rig and Phil, perfect A triple plus. Congratulations. Also want to say that Right Side Radio is my favorite radio show of all time. Thank you, Brother John. It's all thanks to the incredible job you do and Big Rig do every day. Well, almost every day. LOL. John, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for being a part of what we do. Jeffro from Indiana is on the phone. Jeffro, how are you doing, man? Are you actually going topless this weekend? You just text me that and said, I'm going topless this weekend?
I am. I'm going topless this weekend.
In your Jeep?
Until it rains, and then I'm going to get wet topless. Yeah, I don't think you'd want to see me topless. It's like going to the tranny show.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, what time did you get home last night after that late run you had?
I got in the yard at midnight.
Holy smokes, Jeffro. I mean, there's not enough truck stop food in the world to keep you going for a day like that.
No. Sometimes I didn't eat no eggs last night.
I'm about to say, no pickled eggs on a day like that one. You'd be up all night.
No, I'm somebody would anyway.
Well, what do you think about this lawfare? Oh, yeah. What do you think about all this?
You're just a conviction denier, Phil. I mean, the jury come back and they said what they said, and it was a perfectly honest and good trial and everything.
Oh, nice!
You know, all trials should be held like this. I think we'd get a lot more convictions, I believe.
We probably would, because if you could gerrymander the evidence on everything and get the trial in a place where you can't get a good thing, good jury, and oh, by the way, the judge is against you from the get-go, man, you can convict anybody at that point.
But as far as trusting the judicial system right now, I'll tell you how many judges I trust right now. If I was going to go before them, I would say, did you admonish this judge in the Trump trial? And if they didn't, then I don't trust them.
Mm.
Just that simple. Because you're not barred by being a lawyer to talk about other lawyers being crooks and everything else. And as far as I know, the judicial system, they're not barred by speaking against their fellow judges when they see them doing something like this. It's like I say, it's like the good cop and the bad cop, and the bad cop just murdered somebody in cold blood, and the good cop just stands there and keeps his mouth shut. And that's what we're seeing right now. So if you want to get my trust, then these judges need to come out and say, yeah, this was a sham trial.
Well,
and that's what I expect from them.
Well, we would hope that most of them believe that. They probably can't talk about it because they're not allowed to get political. But hey, brother, I got to go. You enjoy your topless weekend. I got to read one more text, and we're heading off the air. But you have a great weekend, all right?
Have a good weekend, Phil.
We'll see you, man. I got to read you guys real quick as we go out the door here. Chip from Muscle Shoals has texted in. He got the T-shirt. He was one of our T-shirt winners. He says, thanks so much for the awesome T-shirt, guys. I look great in it. He said, it's made me look even more intelligent, young, virile, and just plain sexy. As soon as I don the Right Side Ruffian T-shirt, I can immediately feel the power crackling through the soft cotton fibers. It's given me confidence levels I haven't known since my early 30s. It's inspired me to go ask out this girl who's been living in my house for 44 years now. Thanks a lot. Listen, that's a testimonial that we need to put that on social media somehow. I'm gonna send that and say for one of our listeners, Chip, we appreciate you. Enjoy that Right Side Ruffian shirt. You earned it. You guys have an amazing weekend. We'll see you Monday.